You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
Don't
do it! No way.
You must go seize the
moment!
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome into this Week 10 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. I'm Zion Brown here on WBDG, joined by WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So we'll start tonight's episode, as always, talking about the previous game the Giants played, which was now about 2 weeks ago after the 6A bye week, in which the Giants won a 23-7 game against North Central to clinch a share of the MIC championship. So Coach Simmons, in that game, the Giants' offense started sort of sluggishly in the first half with just a field goal, but then they really just put it on, were able to put it on North Central in the second half. So were there adjustments made, or was it just more better execution of the game plan?
Well, I think if you go back and watch it from start to finish, you know, we got a look that we didn't anticipate seeing right out of the gate to start the game. And, you know, it took us a little bit to process the look. But not just process it, you know, see what we could do off of that look. And so really felt like our offensive execution was just coming in chunks. You know, when you look at, we lost the battle of field position in the first quarter, trying to sort through the look, trying to hit a screen here, hit a pass play here, trying to crease a run. And then the second quarter, I thought we really settled in and had a good feel for the look that we were getting from them. Started to make some strides and put some drives together. We drove early in the second quarter, missed a field goal attempt, and then we were able to get the field goal right there before half off a great play by Olajuwon Hassel. And you look at that second quarter, there were two things I felt like we did. We started to put some drives together, but we also won the battle of field position, and I think that kind of gave us momentum. It was kind of an odd half. You know, we got to halftime, you know, we had had the field goal, we had had the safety, but we're still down 7-5, and it felt like we had really controlled the game, you know. And so I'm going through my normal halftime routine. You know, we have our stat guys right there on the sideline, so I checked the game stats, and we had doubled them in total yards. And I was like, man, like, you score shouldn't be 7-5 if we just double them up in total yards. And so really, you know, I think it's a credit to our defense. You know, you look at our special teams play and the way our defense played in the first half. You know, we were able to pin that punt down inside the one with Akeem Babatunde scooping it up. And, you know, our defense goes out and we go get the safety. You know, we put a drive together and, you know, we get the field goal right before half. And so, you know, you always worry. Worry is the wrong word, but, you know, going into halftime, it's, you know, what's the tone in our locker room? And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Vanderbush. You know, we're walking in together and I just said, hey, yeah, I want you to go talk to these guys while I go meet with the offensive staff. And we process this look that we got in the first half. And he went in, talked to our guys, and you know, he's a good resource for our kids. He's a great resource for our kids. But our kids, they have a ton of respect for him. And so, you know, when he's talking to them, they're going to listen. And he just told them, you know, like, you're right where you want to be. You doubled them in total yards. You're in a good spot. You know, circle the wagons here and go play Ben Davis football in the second half. And, you know, we met as a staff offensively and defensively. Felt like we made the necessary adjustments we needed to. You know, it's one thing to make those adjustments, Zion. It's another thing to get them to our players in a position that they understand them and then can go execute them. And you know, we're fortunate to have the players that we do with the experience that they do. And they were able to go execute those nuances really on both sides of the ball. But felt like our defense controlled that entire game from start to finish. You know, you look at their scoring drive. It was a 30-yard drive. And, you know, we gave them 18 of the 32 on penalties, you know. And so we certainly have to get that cleaned up. But when you take that drive out of the game, you know, they really didn't have much. And so, yeah, I think when you look in your goal in this conference is go play complimentary football week in and week out. If we're going to win in the 6A tournament, we got to play complimentary football, meaning our offense has to take care of our defense, which we have not done, you know, all the time this year. Our defense has to go give the ball back to our offense, keep them in good spots, and we got to make plays in special teams. And you know, with the mid-conference on the line Friday, that Friday night felt like we did that. You know, we played a good complimentary football game, and you know, we created a four-way tie for the mid-conference.
If you count the 1996 Mick lineup, which the Giants went 3-0 that year and won the Mick. But not everyone was playing everyone. They were still trying to get schedules together. So sometimes people leave that out. But if you do count that 1996 a championship, which we do here at Ben Davis, that's the 11th Mick championship for Ben Davis. And that's just impressive in itself, given the teams that are in this conference. But this year, I think it is like unlike any other. And so just talk about a little bit about winning the Mick and what that means to your program, and what you're trying to do as the head coach of Ben Davis.
Yeah, I think when you look back on it and you look at, go all the way back 10 weeks from right now, if you would have told us we were going to be in a position to play for the Mick championship, we would have said, yeah, we should be, you know, and then you get off to a 1-3 start, certainly not the start that any of us wanted. Played you know, okay at times in some of those games and played horrifically. You know, we talked about that early in the year. But our guys just kept showing up and kept working. You know, they just kept showing up, kept working, kept showing up, kept working. You know, had a good game against Warren, you know, found a way to win it late. And then we were able to string a couple of wins together. And, you know, I think that really helped our confidence grow. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, we create a four-way tie. You know, it's still – I think that accomplishment in and of itself is unique to this group because of their – just their perseverance and their willingness to stay in the fight and keep showing up and working every day. Certainly not, you know, it's not going to be the highlight of our season. We don't want it to be. But I think it's a good first step for this group. I think it's a good reward for their perseverance. You know, certainly didn't want to share it with anybody. We have nobody to blame but us for that. And so, you know, we did what we could do. You know, we talk to our guys all the time, control what you can control, and we did that Friday night. You know. And so for us, you know, I think it was a good first step. We talked to our guys that night about it. You know, it's we don't want it to be the highlight. We don't want it to be anything other than, you know, we showed up, played good complimentary football, and now we got to set our sights on playing Perry Meridian.
Obviously, it was a tight race. Four-way tie in the Mick came down. You know, if you go back and you look at everything, it's just like a round of golf. If I miss a 3-foot putt on the first hole, Nobody really notices that. But if I miss the 3-foot putt on the 18th hole to lose the championship, everybody notices that, even though the 3-foot putt I missed on the first hole is just as valuable. So if you go back and you look, the margin was so thin that the defensive stop against Pike, you know, the overtime against Warren, you know, any of these things, the Carmel game with the interception with Dalen Carnell, who's in the room here with us right now, any of those things change, you're not in that situation. So you guys really made a lot of plays this year to get it done. And any thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, you know, I feel like all of those situations, and you look at the Mick this year, and we felt like it going into the year, we felt like there were going to be really good defenses in this conference, and that's kind of held serve. Felt like, you know, offensively, we felt like every team had a really good running back that you were going to be forced to defend. That's held serve. And then, you know, from there, it was going to come down to who made the least amount of mistakes. And, you know, early in the year when we were getting situated and trying to put the right pieces to the puzzle together, you know, we made a ton of mistakes. Some of them showed up in turnovers. Some of them showed up in explosive plays given up. And then as the year has gone on, we've really kind of settled into our groove. We've got the right pieces to the puzzle in place. And, you know, we've been able to make more plays as the year has gone on. And I think you can tie that to two things. You can tie it to the way we practice how hard we've practiced since Warren. And I think you can tie it to our discipline. You know, our discipline's been a lot better since we got off to a 1-3 start. And because of that, we've been a better football team. When we talk to our guys all the time about the recipe. The recipe for success has been pretty clear. You know, in the games that we've had success, we've been able to put the ball in space. We've been able to get the ball in space offensively and finish plays. We've been more physical. We ran for more rush yards, you know, and you look at all those factors offensively that have allowed us to have success. We've minimized turnovers. Like, those are that's the recipe offensively. Defensively, we've been able to stop the run. We've been able to force people into third and long situations. We've been able to pressure the quarterback and let our secondary, who we feel like is really good, go play. And, you know, when we can get people in third and long situations, we have a really good defensive line. We have a really good secondary. Those two things combined in third and long are a recipe for us to have success. And then you look in those games, we've been able to execute in special teams and win the battle of special teams. And so we talk about complementary football. We know what that recipe is, and if we don't live to that recipe or cook to that recipe on Friday nights, we have nobody to blame but us moving forward.
Oh, against North Central, you showcased for the first time this season a wildcat formation with Elijah Monhouse at the QB slot. Do we expect to see that more going into the state tournament?
You know, it's something that we've rolled out in bits and pieces throughout the year. Not certainly to the volume that we did on Friday against North Central. You know, for us, felt like it could give us a spark. Felt like it's going to force our guys into space and really put our guys in a position to go make plays. Trez Cushenberry has kind of owned that role when we get into that formation as AJ's sidekick. He's done a really nice job with it, you know, and really I think what you saw, Zion, was it gave us a little bit of a spark, you know, and anytime we can get 10 in space with the ball, he's pretty dynamic. He's tough to bring down. He's really elusive. He's a really good player. So, you know, we have that package. We've started to expand it a little bit. With the bye week, we probably had a little bit too much time to, you know, draw stuff up and experiment a little bit. And so, you know, we certainly have that package ready to go. It'll be a part of the game plan week in and week out for us. And, you know, I think the one place that it really showed up and helped us was down in the red zone. You know, we had been down inside the five a couple different times this year and struggled to punch the ball in. And, you know, we got in that look, kind of a wild giant look is what we call it. And felt like it just gave us a different look and a different feel and a different fit down there inside the five. And, you know, it allowed us to punch it in. And then, you know, we're in that situation, and you know, we got questioned on the TV copy, but you know, after we scored and there in the third quarter, we went for two, and everybody's like, well, why in the world is he going for two? We went for two for the sole purpose of making that a two possession game, because even in the third quarter, we felt like if we made that a two possession game, they weren't going to score on our defense twice in the last quarter and a half. And, you know, we got the ball inside the 10. I flipped over on the headset to our defense coordinator and said, hey, we're going for two. If we get this, we're going to make it a two-possession game. And he said, go for it. And, you know, that one, that's the confidence we have in our players offensively to line up and go get 3 yards. But two, our defense was playing at a clip with Romel and with Dalen, with Malik, and everybody else defensively. Our defense was playing at a clip that we didn't feel like they were going to give up two scores the rest of the night. And so, you know, it's part of being aggressive. It's part of believing in your guys. And for us, we felt like that was a good opportunity to go for two.
Coach, I think this is more just a general question. You talk about being aggressive, and it seems like in coaching that coaches have become, in general, more aggressive over, you know, you see what the Colts do. You see how Coach Wright coaches. But that's not – he's not the only one that coaches that way. Is that a trend? Is that something with the analytics that maybe people have gotten a better look at? This may work here. This may work there. What goes into that? Or am I just off base and I'm just, you know, seeing something that isn't there?
No, I think there might be a little bit of a trend to it. You know, for us, it's all pretty calculated. You know, we spend a great deal of time in preparing for opponents in a pretty systematic way. So for us to go forward on fourth down, it's going to be a situation where A, we already know where the bubble's going to be. B, we have a good plan to get to that bubble, and C, we feel like we can get enough of a surge to go for it, whatever the circumstances may be, if we're going for it from an offensive perspective. The other part that plays into that is what production are you getting out of your defense? Because if you're going to go for it on fourth down and you don't get it, you got to trust those guys taking the field that they're going to go get a stop and go get the ball back. And, you know, so if our defense is playing really well, in my mind, it tells me, hey, we get to fourth and one. Yeah, we're going to go for it. We're going to trust those guys that are getting ready to go take the field. If we don't, if something happens and we come up short. I think from a special teams perspective too, I mean, you saw us, you know, pull the surprise onside after the first score, and that was just something we felt like in preparation we would be able to get. You idea it in preparation, you see it in the flow of the game, and, you know, is it still there? You know, is that a different kid? So all of those things kind of go into preparation. So, you know, we have to be systematic if we're going to do that. It's not just we're not just pulling something out of our pocket, throwing it up against the wall. Like we have a plan if we're going to go do that. You know, we've had some success with three different fake punts this year. Those were all calculated, systematic plays that we felt like we could get. Or, I mean, if we don't feel like we're going to be able to get them, we're not going to run them. You know, we're going to run, if we're going to run one of those three fake punts again, you know, it's going to be because we feel like we're going to get the look that complements that fake punt that we're going to run. And so, you know, all of those things, you have to have a plan for, systematic, and it can't just be off the hip. You know, if you're playing off the hip, you're really rolling the dice.
That will end our first segment here, talking about the North Central game, which the Giants won 23-7 and clinched a share of that four-way tie for the MIC Conference. When we come back, we'll go to the Giant Rewind, and I will talk to a couple of the two-way players on the Giants team, Romel Williams and Daylon Carnell. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
It's time for the Giant Rewind, a look back at last week's game through the calls of WBDG's announcers.
Now 2nd and 10 still from their own 1-yard line, and this time it's going to be a handoff inside, and the Giants defense is there to swarm them up, and it will be a safety, as there were multiple Giant defenders there to make the tackle. Snap is good, the hold is good, and this time Fox knocks it through as triple zeros are on the clock, and we have a 7-5 ball game here at halftime. Get back in this Wildcat set with Hassel as the Wildcat QB, 4 wide receivers out wide for Hassel. Now Trent Gibson will be the man in motion. Hassel will take it himself up the middle and get into the end zone for a Ben Davis touchdown, 1-yard TD run there for Elijuan Hassel. In this shotgun, Wildcat set with Hassel. Now Hassel going to take it himself up the right side. He slips the tackle. He gets to the outside, and he gets in to the end zone for a 2-point conversion. And the Giants take a 16-7 lead with 3:37 left to go in this third quarter of play. Now Gibson will take the snap and give it off to Hassel again up the middle. Hassel is going to walk into the end zone up the middle of the field for a 14-yard Ben Davis touchdown, and the Giants go ahead a couple of scores here. But that'll end it here from Giant Stadium as Coach Simmons gets the Gatorade bath, and the Giants are MIC champions here after a 23-7 victory over the North Central Panthers. The Giants are MIC champions for the 2nd time in 3 years.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
You heard it right there, back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. I'm Zion Brown once again. Now I'm joined by some two-way juniors for the Giants, wide receiver slash cornerback Daylon Carnell and offensive lineman slash defensive lineman Romel Williams. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. All right. Good to hear. I'll start with you, Daylon. And in the LC game, you were sidelined with a knee injury. You came back against North Central, but only on the defensive side as a cornerback. So how's your knee feeling as of now? And do you expect to be playing both ways going into the tournament?
Right now, my knee's feeling way better. I'm rehabbing every day. So, yeah. And then about the second question, probably not. This game, I won't probably be playing wide receiver, but later in the tournament, I will be getting back to the wide receiver position.
All right, that's definitely good to hear. that your knee's feeling better and that you're working your way back to playing both ways. But this goes for both of you. What responsibilities do you face when you play both sides of the ball?
Start with me. All right, bet. Responsibilities. One thing is make sure I'm ready to go no matter what happens. And probably, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just make sure I'm ready to go.
For me, I got to be locked in mentally on my assignment, what I'm doing, like no mental mistakes. And then, like, when you do come out, like on special teams and stuff, you got to make sure you get hydrated so you don't cramp up or nothing throughout the game. That's really important.
And, Daylon, you finished at top of 6A with 5 interceptions, the most interceptions in 6A. So what does that mean for you? How much did that mean for you to see how you finished leading the conference, or excuse me, the division in interceptions?
It feels good. Credit to my defensive line. They get pressure all the time. They hitting the quarterback, forcing bad throws, and it makes it easier on me to get the picks. So, yes, yeah, a lot of credit to them.
Is that a goal that you had, like, coming into the year or anything, or did you just, you know, play your heart out and it happened?
My goal at the beginning of the year was 4 picks. And, yeah, so I got that. I got more, one more. I plan on getting some more in the tournament, too, so, yeah.
And, Romeo, the Giants' defense had a stellar performance against North Central, only allowing the 1 touchdown drive. So what allowed the defense to be so successful and so just crucial in that game?
Well, I feel like every game the defense is crucial, but really is the preparation and how locked in we are in the game. So, yeah.
Did you go in knowing, okay, this is what we're going to have to stop as far as their offense, and did you feel like you executed that well?
Yeah. We have a great defensive coordinator, and he makes sure we know everything that they might do. So, yeah.
So this could go for either of you again. What going into the sectional, going into Pierre Meridian, what do you feel like you need to stop for them? What are you expecting them to try to do to beat the Giants?
You first.
Well, since I'm a DB, they passing attack. They like a lot of quick game stuff, slants, hitches, like smash routes. So this week we really locking in on having our quick game reads as DBs. And, like, taking that out to make it harder on their offense.
Oh, me. Really, like, D-line, we do what we have to do. So, like, yeah, exactly. We do what we got to do. So.
Is there anything that you could see that coming from Perry that could be a challenge for the Giants on Friday night?
Nah, it's like, just like what I said, their quick game, we got to be very disciplined in that. Other than that, our D-line and our linebackers, they're going to shut down the run like they do every game. So, yeah.
And as a team, what are just your expectations going into the state tournament? How far do you expect to advance or hope to advance as a team?
Of course, the state championship. You know, I feel like we can win it. Our coaches feel like we can do it. So, yeah, state championship.
Same thing he said. The goal is always the state championship. We're preparing like it every day, practicing like it every day. And when we go out there on Friday, we're going to cheat that game like a state championship. Every game we play is a championship game for us.
And do you feel like, you know, you guys have played a pretty difficult schedule to this point. Do you feel like that's really almost prepared you and helped you to face any team going into the tournament?
Yeah.
How so?
Like, since, like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, Mick is, like, what top 10?
Top 5 conference.
Yeah, top 5, 10, top 10, whatever. So, like, there's a lot of good competition. So, like, I feel like if we can do what we did in the regular season, we should be fine in playoffs.
We have, like you said, we play in a really tough conference, so that prepares us for the tournament. And our 2 non-conference games came from probably 2 of the best teams outside of the MIC in the state. So, right. Yeah, I feel like that prepared us good, tough schedule.
All right, last question. I've asked this question to all players that have come on so far. Who is your favorite football player and why?
Gotta go with Aaron Donald. He's a dog. It is what it is. What about you, Damon?
Mine is Jalen Ramsey. Just like,
of course.
Just like his swag on the field, his aggression, like he back down from nobody, and he just plays his game. And he talk a little trash too. Yeah. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, those are two all pro great players. They're now teammates on the LA Rams. That's interesting there. So good luck to you guys against Perry and throughout the state tournament. And have a good week of practice. Now it's going to be some difficult weather the next couple of days. Yeah. But have a good week in practice. Okay, so that was Dalen Carnell and Romeo Williams, a couple of the star juniors on the Giants team. So we will come back after a break, and I'll be joined by John Easter and Jason Simmons again, and we will talk about the Perry game and the state tournament upcoming. Once again, you're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
Back here once again on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. Thanks to them for being a key underwriter during our football year all along. Now we're going to talk about the Perry Meridian game to Coach Simmons. So, Coach, coming into the game, the Falcons are 0-9 on the season, but how important do you feel it is to not overlook Perry Meridian?
Yeah, well, I think it's critical. You're guaranteed one game, you know, and that's really been the message for us this week with our guys, and especially our senior class. You know, this group has put a lot into Ben Davis football. They've certainly seen the highest of highs and the lowest of lows here in the last 2 years, and they've experienced it. And so, you know, for them, we're guaranteed one game. You know, we're guaranteed Friday night against Perry, and for us, it's about chasing a standard different than just an opponent. You know, we have to go. We're still looking to play our best football game. Certainly made some headway on that against North Central when we played about as complimentary a game as we've played all year. But there's still something bigger out there for us. You know, we still got to play well in all three phases of the game. And, you know, for us, it's about playing at our level. And that's been the point of emphasis for us. You know, we've played at our level and beaten some of the best teams on our schedule. And we've played bad football and we've lost to some of the best teams and some of the teams that haven't had as much success on our schedule. And so, you know, really trying to find that level of consistency, trying to get that water to balance itself out, to be honest with you, Zion, and just be able, and you know, we want to be in a position to string some wins together here. And you can't string wins together if you don't get the first one. So,
Coach, I think you hit on what my question was going to be. It seems like, with the exception of maybe the game against Avon, the Giants have been at their best against the best teams on the schedule. You know, you beat beat the other three teams, for example, that you tied with in the MIC, but you struggled against some of the other teams on the schedule. So how do you prevent that? Or is that the lesson now for the Giants, that they've seen that then, and maybe they'll turn that around?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the picture we've tried to paint with our guys. You know, we felt like coming into the tournament, you know, we felt like our maturity was going to get tested with, not only with the first round draw with Perry, because if you just look at their record, you're going to look at it and say, oh, they're 0-9. Well, there's a lot of factors that have played into that. You start to watch their game film, and they do some things well, but beyond just a sectional draw was handling the bye week too, and were we going to show up and work at a level that reflected Ben Davis football? Were we going to show up and work at a level that reflected giving ourselves a chance to be competitive in this 6A tournament? And, you know, we felt like our guys had a really good bye week last week. We got to work on the field and put in good work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then, we've shown up this week and we've had two good days of practice. And so certainly have some momentum. You know, we got to handle the weather here the next couple of days, you know, with the rain that they're forecasting and the storms and all that other good stuff. Got to handle Halloween Thursday night. You know, I mean, there's always seems to be something, you know, from just a minor distraction that our guys got to handle. And, you know, we got to be mature enough to go be the better of the two football teams on Friday.
So how much do you think the difficulty and the strength of the Giants' regular season schedule will really help you as you go into the state tournament?
You know, I think our strength of schedule is really going to help us, especially here early in these, this week against Perry. If we're fortunate enough to get through this Friday, you know, certainly next week as well. When you look at our strength of schedule, I think we finished the regular season second, first or second, you know, with the first or second hardest schedule in the state of Indiana. And then, you know, you look down the road and certainly don't want to do that. But we're going to look at seeing teams for the second time. And so, you know, when you see somebody for the second time, not only is there that level of familiarity, but it also you can draw from that previous game and say, you know, we did this well, did this not so well, they did this well, what are they going to try and take away? And so, you know, that's when you start to get into that chess match if you're fortunate enough to get to that situation. But we got a lot of football to play before we can get into a rematch with anybody from our regular season schedule at this point.
When you look at 6A in general, it is wide open. I mean, you could really see just about anybody in the top 10 in Indiana high school football. You could really see anybody come out of this thing. So how much different is that than what we've seen in the past? Obviously, the Giants have gone into the tournament as the favorite. They've gone into the tournament as one of the favorites. This year, I think that there are 5, 6, 7 teams that I can name off the top of my head. Even a team like Zionsville, who has played some good football this year, could somehow sneak out of that sectional and meet you guys in the, you know, potentially in the regional if you guys take care of business in your own sectional. But when you look at this 6A class, how much different is it this year than what we've seen in the past?
Well, it's certainly a lot different than the past 2 years. When you look at it, the past 2 years, it seemed like, you know, it was – you know, in 2017, everybody just said, well, here, you know, we'll hand Ben Davis the trophy, and if they somehow screw it up, they'll give the trophy back. And certainly felt that way a little bit with Warren last year, you know, even though, you know, teams played him a lot closer second time through. You know, I think when you look at this, it reminds me a little bit of 2014 or even 2016 in 6A. You know, in 2014, it was, I felt like it was wide open. You know, we were able to watch it from afar a little bit, but you know, you look at the Ben Davis Center Grove game, and that was a shootout that, you know, Chris Evans makes a heck of a run late in the game, and you know, but that was off of a big comeback, you know, and so
week before the Warren, surviving Warren,
yeah. So you know, it's kind of got it. You know, it really has kind of a fun buzz to it. I think, yeah. You know, if you're on social media, you're on Twitter or whatnot. You know, I think there's some social media buzz to it. You know, to 6A, and people want to see how it shakes out. Certainly, a lot of conversation about some big time first round matchups. You know, when you work your way through the 6A bracket, if you're just as a fan, like I gave myself an opportunity to be for about an hour last week during the bye week. It, you know, you look at Lafayette, Jeff Merrillville up there in sectional one or two, whatever number that is, sectional one, I think. You know, that could be that's two top 10 teams playing in the first round. You got Warren and North Central, which is two top 10 teams playing in the first round. You got Avon Brownsburg, two top 10 teams playing in the first round. And, you know, you look down at Sectional 8 and you got Columbus East and Center Grove. And, you know, Columbus East may not be a top 10 team right now, but they're up in 6A due to the success factor. And so, you know, obviously that program knows how to win. Those kids know how to win. And so, you know, that'll give us something to look at Friday night after our own game. You know, we got to show up and take care of our own. We got to take care of ourselves and play Ben Davis football. If we do that, we feel like we're going to have some opportunities for success. And then if we're fortunate enough to move on to the round of 16, we'll look at scores and look and see who's left and then take it from there. You know, we obviously the first score we're going to look at is going to be that Southport Tech score. You know, because obviously that's going to dictate who our you know, sectional championship opponent is. And so it's a great time of year. You know, I really feel good about where our kids are mentally right now. I think they understand what's ahead of them. They you know, they certainly understand that, you know, we have to, you know, we're guaranteed one shot at this. And, you know, we had a really good bye week. I felt that would test our maturity and felt like we passed that test. And through 2 days this week, I felt like our kids have shown up and practiced it at a level that certainly is known around here as Ben Davis football.
So what are your overall just expectations and goals for the Giant, for the team heading into this the tournament?
Yeah, it's easy to sit here and say, you know, we want to be in the hunt to win a 6A state championship. You know, I think that's the goal of everybody when they start the tournament run here. But, you know, really, to be honest with you, I want to win tomorrow. I want to make sure that the right football team shows up in preparation. If we can win preparation tomorrow, then we're gonna set ourselves up to advance to the round of 16, and then we can hit the reset button on Saturday morning and go. And I know it sounds cliche, and people listening are like, "Yeah, whatever. He's already looking beyond." But you know, John and I were talking when you were with Dalen and Romel, and you know, my sights have been squarely fixed on Perry. And you know, there may be guys on our staff that are looking ahead and doing whatever, but you know, for me, it's about taking advantage of what's right in front of us, and that's the one guarantee that we have, and that's playing Perry Meridian on Friday.
For a team like Perry Meridian, who comes in 0-9, and they've been in a couple games this year, could have had a great chance to beat a very good team in Franklin earlier this year in a game that kind of came down to a shootout. A team like Perry Meridian, if they can knock you guys off Friday night on your home field, that's kind of their Super Bowl in a way. They're a team that's going to struggle maybe to win the 6A state title, but certainly if they can muster it up and defeat a Ben Davis or knock off a team like a Ben Davis, how hard is it to take everybody's best shot? Obviously, you do every week in the MIC, but you know, a team that's outside of this conference coming in, how high will they get for this game?
Well, I think they're going to get really high. You know, and you know, the reference point for me is, you know, we drew Carmel back-to-back years when I was at Noblesville, I have an idea of how our guys approached that week and how our guys went into that game. And you know, it's a completely different role. And you know, part of the reason you come to Ben Davis when you have the opportunity to is to be a part of an elite program in the state of Indiana, and then you show up and the expectations are sky high, and you have to work to those expectations every day. And you know, that's part of what we're doing. And you know, part of working to those expectations is understanding, you know, what you represent and what the standard is in this program that was set, you know, many moons ago by people long before we ever thought about putting the jersey on or putting a Ben Davis shirt on. And so, you know, you have to understand part of that expectation is you're going to get everybody's best shot. And, you know, our guys understand that. Our guys know that, you know, Perry's going to come in here and cut it loose. You know, we've tried to explain to our guys, you know, we have to have a plan for everything. And we're in a position right now coming into this game. It, you know, kind of concerns you a little bit as a coach because, you know, they're going to junk the box up and try and take away Trent, try and take away AJ and make us throw the ball to beat them. We have to be willing to take what they give us and go put the ball in space and go. And we got to make plays in the passing game if they junk the box up. If they want to drop eight, you know, we have to be willing to just go hunk it up in there and try and win in the run game, get AJ and Trent in space and go do what we do. So we have to have a plan for blitz pickup and for post-snap movement and all the stuff they can do. You know, same thing on the defensive side of the ball. We have to be ready for them to, you know, maybe roll in here with some specials and try a reverse pass, try a double pass, try a halfback pass, try something to gain a spark early. And then, you know, we have to be sound in the kicking game. You know, they just as we rolled a surprise onside out against North Central, there's nothing stopping them. They've put that on film. So we have to execute in the kicking game as well. And so for us, it's, you know, we're working our tail off as a program to make sure that we're leaving no stone unturned. And really it's about, again, working at our at the standard that's been set in this program, preparing at the standard that's been set in this program. And then, you know, then Friday night will come and we got to go execute at that standard. And so, you know, for us, it's been a fun week. You know, we're guaranteed this week. And so our kids have certainly put ourselves in a good position through the first 2 days.
How much is this like the situation you were in last year? You're kind of in the opposite position where you were last year, where you're kind of playing the Warren Central role in the first round of sectional, and Perry is kind of the Ben Davis last year. So how similar is that, and what experience can you draw on from that game to kind of say, hey, remember what we tried to do against Warren? We kind of threw everything at him, and you know, we kind of made some dents against them. They had to really play hard to finish that game out. So how much of that goes into the preparation for this game?
Yeah, I think so much of it is, you know, we have to make sure that we leave no stone unturned. And so we've done that. You know, we had a really good staff meeting on Sunday. You know, when we get to this period on Tuesday, we're going to show this, this, and this. We get to this period, we got to show them this, this, and this. You know, what if we're, you know, we tried to put ourselves in Perry Meridian staff's shoes, and you know, what what are they going to tell their kids, and what are they going to do? And, you know, part of that bye week for us, we placed a heavy concentration on evaluating our own personnel, our own schemes, all the way across the board, special teams, offense, defense. We tried to identify personnel that if we're game planning for us, who would we go attack? And that was kind of the mindset that our staff took in looking at our special teams, looking at our offense, looking at our defense. And so we've tried to ID some of those hot spots. We've repped those hot spots this week just to make sure that guys understand, like, hey, this is what we've put on film. And people are going to come after you, and that you need to make sure that we get this and this buttoned up. We need to help you as a coaching staff, and let's leave no stone unturned here in our preparation for Perry Meridian, and you know, if we're fortunate in Perry Meridian and beyond.
You hinted on it a little bit, but just what schematically, what problems could you face against Perry Meridian that way?
You know, part of being in the sectional that we're in is like there's the element of the unknown. Like we, you know, everybody last year made us think, well, you're in the same sectional as Warren, LC, LN. Yeah, we are, but they're known. We've already seen them one time. We've seen them historically. Like we know who they are. We know what they do. We know their coaching staff. You get into this sectional right now, and it's a big unknown. And so, you know, we traded film with Perry, obviously, and they're playing Mooresville, which we know nothing about, playing Martinsville, which we know nothing about. So we're watching them in games that we just don't know, you know. So the element of the unknown is there, and so, you know, you have to really pay attention to people at that point, and you know what do individual players do well, and then you holistically bring it back into the scheme. It's not a lot different than some other defenses, you know, some defensive fronts that we've seen. When you look at them schematically, from a schematic standpoint, it's probably most similar to Carmel when you talk about the defensive box. You know, they're a 3-4 team. Feel like their defensive line gets off the ball well. They can be disruptive with post-snap movement and with some different pressures. They show some blitz pressures that we haven't seen, you know. Secondary wise, you know, their corners do some good things post snap. So we have to know that going into it. And when you look at them offensively, they're not going to do a whole lot. You know, they're not going to do anything different than what we haven't seen in our conference. And so it's a matter of getting a feel for their personnel and who they are, and you know, some of the feeling out process early in the game, and you know, how quickly can we get settled in and get a feel for their personnel, and then try and take advantage of where we feel like we have an advantage.
Over the life of the 6A tournament, we've seen the bye week in different places. We've seen it before the state game, which the Giants saw in 2014. You've seen it here at the start of the sectional. There's also been at least some chatter about maybe allowing 6A and 5A to have a regular season game. What are your thoughts on the bye week? Is it beneficial? Do you think it gives the bigger classes a different advantage? Obviously, you're all playing the same teams. Unless you're Decatur Central or Plainfield, you had to play last week in 5A. That's the only exception to that. So feelings on the bye week?
I like it. Having been a couple different places, having been an assistant coach, having been a head coach with it, I like where it's at right now. I think the old school historian in me likes it because the championships are all aligned. And I think when you look at the official situation across the state of Indiana, when you take 5A and 6A out of the equation, with the exception of two games in 5A, you have enough officials to field, you know, crews for every first round game, which is critical. So I like the bye week where it's at. You know, selfishly for us in 6A, specific to Ben Davis, I don't know who's left for us to go, be honest with you. You know, you look at our non-conference schedule. We played Avon and Brownsburg. The only other schools left for us to go play would probably be New Pal or Cathedral or, you know, somebody like that. And, you know, I don't know that a 10th game would do us justice. If they told us to go play one, we'd find somebody to play and go play it, to be honest with you. We were fortunate enough. The bye week came at a good time for us. You know, we felt like we got healthier, felt like it was a perfect opportunity for us to evaluate us, and felt like we got some really good teaching done, got some good evaluations done on us. And allowed us to kind of set the table here to potentially go, you know, go play a game or two or three or four down the road here in the state tournament if the ball bounces our way.
All right, that will wrap up this week 10 episode of Inside Ben Davis. Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. Thanks to Romel Williams and Dalen Carnell for coming on.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.